Galatians chapter 6, or as Brian would say, Galatians chapter 16. You just had to be there to know what I'm talking about. The one thing for sure, the Bible would have been a lot longer had Brian had anything to do with it, according to what he said this morning. Galatians chapter 6, I'm just glad to be here. I'm glad Jesus loves me. That song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So, has become a children's song in so many ways, but it shouldn't be. It's good for children to sing it, but it's good for us young children or older children to sing it too. I'm so glad that He loves us all. What a blessing it is. I know that because the Bible told me. I read that in Scripture, I see that in the Bible, and I know that's so because God never lies. And if He says in the Bible that He loves me, I know He does no matter what, but I see in my life that He loves me. I am awake this morning, I am at least somewhat alert mentally. I am certainly in better health than I should be. I am saved and heaven bound, and I've got the Holy Spirit living inside of me. I got a Bible I can trust. I got some friends. I'm in a church years ago where the Lord had, anybody had said that I'd be a pastor of any church, I'd say, well, there's no way in the world. But God has placed me here, and I believe He did. I have a lot to be thankful for. I rejoice in that. Galatians, I'll catch up with you in just a second, but in 2 Thessalonians 3:13, the Bible says, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Then in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, the Bible says, but let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In both those verses, the Bible says to us, who are believers, to not be weary in well-doing. He says, don't let it happen. Implied in that is the fact that it can happen. We can get weary in well-doing. He says, don't let it happen to you. I want to preach this morning on this thought. What do I do to keep doing what I'm doing? It's one thing to say I'm doing the Lord's will. It's one thing to say I am well doing. I hope we are. But it's quite another thing to keep doing well. There's a devil who hates God's people. That means he hates you. There's a devil who hates God's work. He hates God's people and he hates God's work because he hates God. And he'll do anything he can to hinder the work of God. He'll do anything he can to stop the work of God to us. The Lord wants to help us this morning. He wants to do a work in us. He wants to do something for us. But he also wants to do something through us that we might be a help to somebody else. I don't blame the devil. I wouldn't like that either. If I could, I would stop that any way I could. That's his attempt. The Bible says in Galatians 6, 9, but, and let us not be weary in well-doing. I see the assumption. There's something assumed in that verse. There's something implied in those words, and that is this. That somebody is doing well. He said, let us not be weary in well-doing. The assumption is someone is doing well. Someone is serving right. The assumption is someone is doing what the Lord wants them to do. That's the implication. The first thought on my heart as far as this assumption is the fact that it talks about doing the Lord's will, doing what He desires. I wonder this last week, even though we had revival, how many of us thought regularly about what God wants in our lives. So much of our life is so consumed with what we want or what we think or our plans or our desires. It gives God very little room to move. We have very little time to do anything for the Lord. Implied in these words is the fact that someone is doing, someone is serving, but they're not just doing, but they're doing well. Well doing. It reminds me of the fact that the one that's keeping the score is the Lord. I might could examine your life and say you're doing pretty good, but I don't know what you're supposed to be doing. I don't know what your burden is. I don't know what your task is. I don't know the Lord's will for you. I struggle sometimes knowing what the Lord's will is for me. So when I say this verse says, well doing, it makes me think about what the Lord will say one day to some people. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Assumed in this verse, implied in these words, is the fact that someone is doing well, doing what the Lord says. Assumed in these words also is the fact that there's the at least possibility of someone getting weary, of someone growing tired, of someone getting tired of doing what's right. I thought about this morning while I was praying. I wonder why we don't get tired of other things. We don't get tired of ball games. We don't get tired of golf. We don't get tired of shopping. We don't get tired of all the things that we do that may not really be wrong, but they're more important than the Lord. They're wrong. They're in the wrong place. But it's so easy to get tired. It's so easy to get weary in well-doing. I want to ask you this morning, if that's where you're at, are you weary of well-doing? Are you tired in the way? Hope we don't get tired of the way, but we can get tired in the way. The word weary literally means to be wearied, exhausted, worn out. It literally means without spirit. That's gone. That's gone. It's so easy to get weary. It's so easy to get worn out. It's so easy for your foof to go. Assumed in this verse is someone who is doing well, but they're getting weary in doing well. He not only says that, but he continues by saying, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The word faint is connected to the word weary. When someone gets weary, they're very close to fainting. To faint means exactly what you would think. It means to lose heart. It literally means to quit. Got a question. How many people do you know who have quit? How many people do you know who used to be right with the Lord and love Him, but now they have quit? The answer to their problem may be lying in these verses and these words. We need to be careful to keep doing what we've been doing. But how do I do that? How do I keep doing what I've been doing if I'm well doing? How do I keep doing what I've been doing if I'm tired of doing what I've been doing? When we get weary in well doing, it's so easy to quit. It's so easy to throw in the towel. The word weary literally means to walk away from, to abandon, to quit. The word faint has the same idea. The assumption is someone is doing well, but they're being attacked. That's my second point. Not only the assumption, but the attack. Hey, look here. Here's somebody doing well, Here's somebody serving the Lord. Here's somebody faithful. Here's somebody committed. Here's somebody doing God's will. And here's somebody who's saved, and that's just about it. They're not faithful. They don't really pray. They don't really read the Word. They're not really faithful or dependable to church. There's just not a whole lot. I mean, saved is about it. You got this one and you got this one. Who you think the devil's going to attack the most? I want to tell you, when we want to do God's will, it's when he'll attack us the most. When we sell out to the Lord, it's when the devil gets angry. We just will realize the devil is going to attack us. Verse 1 starts out in that chapter, brethren. In verse 9 it says, be not weary in well-doing, for we shall reap in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Both of those verses imply that he's speaking to Christians. Brethren, and we. I want to ask you this morning, do you know for sure you're saved? The devil would love to keep you deceived if you think you're saved and you're not. One of the devil's biggest tools, one of the devil's biggest, most successful weapons is deception. He deceived Eve, and he hadn't stopped since. If he can convince you you're saved and heading to heaven, he's reached his goal. He's accomplished his task. I want to tell us all, including me, we better make sure we're saved. We better make sure we're not deceived. We better make sure the devil hasn't pulled the rug over our eyes. Boy, I want to tell you, there's no doubt. Maybe this is it. The reason you're so tired of trying to do right, because you're not really saved to begin with. Maybe one of the reasons why it wears you out of trying to do right and try to do the right thing and try to do the right thing and try to do what's expected, try to do what God wants, because you're not really saved. The Holy Spirit's not living inside. Maybe that's why it's wearing you out. Maybe that's why it's wearing you down. The devil attacks. He's the enemy. And he wants to deceive everybody he can. Paul said it like this in Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He said to Timothy, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I want to tell you something. The devil wants to deceive. Best thing that could happen to some of you is to really get assurance this morning. I don't have anybody on my heart. But I know the burden of my heart. Well, I want to tell you, if you're not sure today, you need to get sure. If it's not settled, if you don't have eternity settled in your heart and mind, you need to make sure it's settled today. The attack of the devil, he wants to deceive. It's his best tool. I don't blame him for using it. It works. Jesus said to the Pharisees, search the Scripture, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He said, you read the Word all the time. You Pharisees, you know the Bible, supposedly. But he said, you look at that Bible you claim to know, and you'll find out it points to me. And you won't have anything to do with me. You haven't accepted me. You've rejected me. I want to ask you this morning, have you accepted him or rejected him? There's no in between. Is he your Lord or is he still your enemy? There's no in between. The devil attacks by deceiving. The devil attacks by depressing. I'm talking about, how do I do what I've been doing? What do I do to keep doing what I've been doing? If you've been serving the Lord, if you've been walking with him, I promise you, the devil has attacked you Somehow, some way, somehow, some way, he's attacking you and trying to get you to quit or slack off a little bit. How do we keep doing what we've been doing? How do we keep from letting weariness get us down? How do we approach the devil's attack and not get overcome? He'll try depression. He'll try to discourage you. If you look in verse 1, it says, brethren, if any be overtaken in a fault, he's talking to saved people about saved people. Brethren, if any be overtaken in a fault, he's talking to saved people about saved people. He says, if any of those Christian brethren are overtaken in a fault, simply put, if they fall, if they quit, if they give up, you know why the devil will try to get you from to quit? You'll know how the devil will try to get us to stop serving God. He'll get us to look at those people who have quit. He'll get us to look into these empty pews where people used to be and ought to still be. And the devil will say, why don't you just give up? Why don't you just quit? Can I let you in on a little secret? Monday night at our revival, when I saw so few people here, the thought went through my mind, tell Frankie, don't preach, let's shut her down and go home. It was pitiful. It was not just pitiful, it was heartbreaking. And the Lord said this to me, well, what about those that did come? You're going to keep them from getting help because so many didn't come? I want to tell you something. If you care anything about the things of God, when you see so many quitting, so many not caring, when you know somebody, if they would just come, they could get help, and they don't come, it breaks your heart. But the devil's trying to use that against us to get us to quit also. The devil will try depression. He'll try discouragement. I'm saying, how can we make sure we're not one of the casualties? He said, be not weary in well-doing. That implies we can get weary. We can give up. We can get so depressed we think, why try anymore? I'm going home too. But I thought, there's a few here. They cared enough to come. There's a few here, they want to do right. And it wouldn't be wrong, it wouldn't be right to do them wrong because so many didn't care. I want to tell you something. It's so discouraging in our day. It's so disheartening in our day. It's so downhearting in our day because there's so many that have been caught up in the falling away. There's been so many that have become so lax and so unconcerned that if you do care, it'll break your heart. But I want to tell you something. Don't let that get you down. Don't let that stop you. Hey, the devil, the attack, he'll try to deceive. He'll try to convince you you're saved when you're not. He'll try to discourage. He'll try to dishearten. He'll try to depress. He'll get us to looking around at people. The devil does his best to get us to stop serving the Lord. He wants us to be the next one that quits. He wants you to be the next one who quits. He wants you to be the next one that doesn't give heed to that verse when it says, be not weary in well-doing. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't faint. Don't give up. Don't quit. He wants you to be the next one where there's an empty spot on the pew. He wants you to be the next one where we wonder where they're at and what they're doing. Don't let that happen. The devil tries to distract us. He'll give us so many things in our lives that we don't have time, we think, for God. He can give us so many things, and a lot of them can be good and okay. But if they come before God, they're wrong, and they become sin.
They become an idol. If they come before God, if we are so full, if our life is so full and our lifestyle is so filled and our time through the day and night is so filled with other things other than God, we are too busy. That's the devil's trick. That's his attack. If we have become that way, we have already fainted. We have already quit. I just ask us all, is God first? Is God first? You know what? I know this rubs us the wrong way. I know that. And you know why it rubs us the wrong way? Because the devil and because the flesh. There's nothing better than serving God with all our heart. There's nothing better than putting Him first. I want to tell you something. Our God deserves our best. Our God that sent His Son to die for me deserves best and better than my half. He deserves more than a couple hours a week or a little bit of my thought or time. He deserves more. He's worthy of more than that. He's been too good to me. He's been too good to us to just halfway. I'm asking you this morning. I just want us all to realize being weary in well-doing, it's going to get you. It's going to get me. None of us above it. The verses said, verse 1, brethren, if any be overtaken with a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one, considering thyself. It doesn't matter how close we've been. It doesn't matter how close we've walked. It doesn't matter how much power we've enjoyed. It doesn't matter how close we've walked to the Lord. None of us are above falling. None of us are above quitting. Anybody here, including me, could be the next one that quits. And the devil would love that. He wants to depress. He wants to discourage. He wants to distract. Really, he just wants to defeat us. My biggest problem is me. The devil surely works. My biggest problem, and so is yours, is us. Well, let me move on. I didn't mean to stay there so long. Not only the assumption, be not weary in well-doing assumes somebody's doing and doing well. And it also says not to faint. It assumes that somebody's wanting us to faint. Somebody's wanting us to quit. But not only the assumption, but the attack, the devil's after us, trying to get every one of us. You know what he'd love? He'd love for every pew to be empty next week. Or he'd just love for us to just show up the same way we are this morning. That'd be all right with him. If he doesn't get us to quit completely, just not doing well, good enough to suit him. The attack. Then I want to deal with the answer. My point has been, I've been on the mean part so far, because we need to see where we're at. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to quit playing games and acting like everything's all right if it isn't. The answer. My point is, what do I do to keep doing what I've been doing? If you are doing well, that one didn't like that. He's trying to stop you. So what do we do to keep doing well? The answer. Number one, realize there is a devil. And realize the influence on our minds. Realize how much damage he's already done. Realize probably how far we are from the Lord. Realize how far we are from doing well. Realize how far we are from pleasing the Lord as we should. The answer is realizing, acknowledging, being honest. I need help. I need help. You may be doing well. You may be serving the Lord with all your heart. Realize there's a devil after you, and he's going to try and stop you any way he can. The answer is realize there's a devil. Number two, look to the Lord for the help you need. Psalmist said it like this. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? What's wrong with you, he said. He ends that verse by saying, hope thou in God. You've got a God you can turn to. You've got a God you can run to. You've got someone that can restore you. You've got somebody that can forgive you. You've got somebody that give you grace. You've got somebody to help you in your weariness. Turn to the Lord. Psalm 71 verse 5. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Well, I want to tell you, we better realize the only hope we've got is the Lord. I want to tell you something, every one of us here, we better listen. The only hope we've got is God. Who do we think we are that we won't be pulled into this falling away that's going on? Who do you think you are? Who do I think I am that we're not going to be affected by what's going on all around us? Nobody's that strong. Nobody's that determined. Nobody has a will that great. We need the Lord. Only hope I have, I'm the pastor of this church, the only hope I have is to not quit before tomorrow, is God. But I have Him. I have Him. I have Him. I can turn to Him and find help. I can go to Him and get help. I can go to Him and He'll show me me. I can go to Him and He'll forgive me. Run to Him. Go to Him. I'm about to preach the message for tonight if I ain't careful. Look to the Lord. Go to the Lord. I'm asking us, how do I keep doing what I've been doing if I'm doing right? If I'm doing well, because the devil don't want me to, and flesh don't want me to. And tell you the truth, most people don't care. Resist the devil. Peter was not picking when he said, whom resists steadfast in the faith. Man, there's about five messages right there. Resist. I don't know how strong you are, how tough you are, how much will you have, but I promise you one thing. If somebody broke into your house tonight and threatened your family, whether you're the wife, husband, or child, you try to oppose them somehow. If you're any kind of man or woman, any kind of child, not even the children, I'll tell you something. If somebody's after something that means something to us, we need to resist it. And the devil's after the most precious thing on earth, your walk with the Lord, your work for Him, His will for our lives. We need to resist them. Hey, don't just play around. Don't just lay down. Don't just give in. Don't just fight. Resist in the Holy Ghost. That's why Ephesians talks about the armor of the Lord. He gives us something to fight against the devil. But then also, we need just a daily devotional life. I'm talking about the answer. What do I do to keep doing what I've been doing? If we have been well-doing, how do we keep from stopping? How do we not give in? So many others have. Every day of your life, I'll tell you something. You won't make it, neither will I. I've said this so many times, you're probably weary of it. It's still the truth. A daily devotional life. Find a time that's best for you. By the way, the devil makes sure there's not an easy time. Make time. Cut something out. Forget something. Doesn't matter how important it is. It should not be more important than our time with the Lord. Pray. When you find your place, if you have to, like me, when I was able to go to the woods, I tried kneeling, it just hurt too much. I fixed me a plastic chair and just sat out there, and I asked the Lord, is this okay? You have to work that out. But when you first go to prayer, don't start asking, don't start complaining. Focus your attention on the fact that you're talking to the God of heaven. You have entered into the throne room of heaven. That may be several minutes before you realize I'm talking to God. Visualize Him. Focus on Him. I do that, I guess, in a particular way. But I need to realize, and so do we, if I'm going to pray, I don't just belly out my little complaints. That'll take a few minutes, usually. Then we don't know what to do. First thing in prayer, you focus your attention on Him and then just worship Him. Oh, I'm talking to God. Right now, the angels are saying, holy, 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 and they see Him clearly. Father, thank You. You're wonderful. Oh, God, thank You. You're so wonderful. You're holy. You're pure. You're right. You won't do anything wrong. I can trust You. Focus on Him for a few moments or maybe minutes. Focus on Him. Then start thanking Him. Thank Him for who He is. Thank Him for what He's done. Thank Him for the blessings of your life. Thank Him for the fact that you are at least as well off as you are. Worship Him. Focus on Him. Thank Him. And then start asking Him. By faith, trust Him with your needs. By faith, say, Father, there's a problem. There's a need. I have a request. I know You know best. I know I'd like to work this out my way, but You know best. You're God. You'll do it right. You'll do it at the right time. Father, I give You this request. I ask of You. Give Him your request, your petitions. Pray for yourself. Pray for others. Pray for your family. Pray for the church. Pray for missionaries. You pray as God directs you. By the way, the first thing we ought to say is, Holy Spirit, pray through me. Open up your heart and let the Holy Spirit pray through you. Let Him give you the words. I've done that probably thousands of times. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Every time I say, oh, Holy Spirit, pray through me, the first thing that comes to my mind is, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Pray. Prayer is a lifeline. I'm telling you, we will not make it. We will be a casualty. We will faint. We will grow weary without prayer. Then I want to say to you all, including me, read. Get that Bible. Sit down somewhere quiet. Some of you, you may have to do like I do. Go out in the woods, lock your door at night, lock your bedroom door. Don't let them in. They cut their foot off, tell them to call 911. Tell you about it later. You take this Bible and say, Father, this is Your word, and I need to hear from You. I need to hear from You. You may need to tell me this morning that I'm rotten, but if I'm rotten, I need You to tell me. You may need to encourage me this morning. I'm down and I need encouragement. I may be heading toward a trap I don't even see. Father, show me what I need to prepare me for that trap. Open this Bible and slowly and carefully. If you want to read through the Bible once a year, that's fine. I just want to ask you, what do you know about the Bible when you get through? I'm not against that. I'm not. But I'd rather read one verse and hear from God than the whole Bible and not know what it said. Ask God to show you and carefully read through every word and listen to what God says and apply to your life. Hey, He may just be giving you that very thing you need. The devil may have an attack ahead. And boy, we need to be prepared. The Word is our strength. The Word is our comfort. The Word is our guide. The Word is our ruler. The Word is the Word. It's God speaking to me. And I cannot go on doing what I'm doing without that. You know I've got to say it, the church. This church doesn't mean a lot to you. Something's wrong. If this church isn't vitally important to you, something's wrong with you. If this church doesn't mean something, if you don't pray for this church, if you don't ask God every day of the week, Lord, meet with us Sunday and meet with us Wednesday, something's wrong. I want to tell you something. God ordained the church to give His people help. And in this day and all this weirdness and all that's going on and all the battle and all the falling away, none of us will make it without the church. I want to tell you, now if you're sick and you can't get out of bed, the God of heaven will intervene. But if we can get here, He won't, because He expects us to be here. It's like being hungry and the table's over there And you say, boy, I'm sure hungry, but you don't get up and go get the food. Well, you'll die of malnutrition. This church ought to be important to you. It ought to be more important than a whole lot of things. In fact, it ought to be more important than most things. But this church, you ought to plan ahead. Father, I get to go to church tomorrow morning. I want to go to bed early tonight because I want to be awake. I don't want to be half asleep when you're trying to speak to me. I don't want to be dozing. I don't want to be full of what I went through last night. When I'm at your house, I need you. I want to prepare. I want to be ready in body and mind and spirit. When I come to church, Lord, open my heart. In fact, I want to open my heart to you. I want to hear from you. I want you to move. That's my church, God. That's my church. I want you to speak. Please don't stop speaking to us. Please move. We need you, God. How many of you prayed like that last week? I hope a lot of you did because we were in revival, but in normal life, I want to tell you, I'm asking us this. If we are well doing, the devil doesn't like it. He's going to try and stop us. How do I do what I've been doing? How do I keep it up? Make this church more important. Maybe it has been. Hey, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night ought to be regular. Unless you cannot. Unless you cannot. And I don't know if you cannot. The Lord does. The Lord does. Hey, I'll just say it again. My Lord deserves more than 2 or 3 hours a week of my time. I would be ashamed. I'd be ashamed if that's all I gave him. I'd be ashamed. And I believe it grieves him. And I know this, if that's all we give him, we are not well doing. We're not even well doing, let alone being worried about fainting or getting weary. The answer is making him an important part of your life by prayer, by the word, by church, by listening to the Spirit, by witnessing, telling others about him. It's amazing when we stop witnessing how much that cuts off his flow. We might not look at it like that, but it's like it cuts off his flow. Well, that's one thing the Lord has spoken to me about this last week, that I witness more like I should and like I used to. The answer is, look to the Lord. Keep on doing what you are doing, whether you want to or not. Live clean. Avoid things that drag you down. Don't go close to them. Could I use the illustration again? If there's a bar over there on that side of town, and I'm over here, and I'm an ex-drunk, or I'm worried about I'm wanting to get a drink, I'll do a whole lot better on this side of town than to drive by the bar every day and look. You understand? Stay away from things that trap you. Stay away from things that'll wear you down. As far as the answer, confess quickly. When you sense the devil's pulling, when you sense the flesh is turning loose, when you've done anything that's wrong, confess it quickly. When you see it, when there's one indication, one little bit of the devil pulling, one little bit of the flesh turning loose, realize it, confess it quickly, and say, Lord, help me to get back on track. And then lastly, the assumption in these verses is somebody's been doing well, but they're wearing out. And if something doesn't happen, they'll faint. The attack, the devil is attacking, the flesh attacks. The answer, look to the Lord and trust Him, but spend time with Him and open with Him. And then lastly, the award. It says in verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There's an award, there's a reward, there's a reaping, there's a benefit, there's a good I'm glad I did it. and the end. If we don't get weary, if we don't faint, if we don't stop doing right, if we do stay close to God, if we do go do His will, if we do sacrifice, if we do stay clean, He says, I'll make sure you're glad you did. There's a reaping, there's a benefit, there's a shall reap on the end. I don't know about you, but I like that. I want that. He says, if we faint not, if we do reap. If we don't, we don't. If we do, we do. If we don't, we don't. He said, if we faint not, if we don't grow weary, if we don't give in to it, there'll be a time when you go to the Lord so worn out, so dead, and so empty, and you get yourself on your face and pray, and all of a sudden, it may take a while, but all of a sudden, He starts stirring your heart. All of a sudden, you feel Him. All of a sudden, you were depressed, and now everything's all right. All of a sudden, you were overwhelmed, but all of a sudden, it's okay. You were fearful, but now you're trusting. You were sad, but now you're glad. You were down, but now you're rejoicing. The difference was you didn't faint. You didn't let your weariness stop you from praying. You did what you're supposed to do, and now you're reaping the benefit. But if I let my weariness keep me from praying, I don't get that award. I don't get that benefit. You're reading the Bible. You're as dead as you can be. And you read that one word and poof, it's like God sinks it in your heart. And all of a sudden, my goodness, what a difference. You've reaped the benefit. You've received the award of not fainting. You've received the benefit of doing the right thing, of doing well, even though you may not have really wanted to. You come to church and you think, I ain't going to get no help today. And all of a sudden, hey, nobody else in church may get help, but God makes a difference in your life because you came. It may be He sweeps through the whole place and everybody's getting help. It may be He just pinpoints you because you haven't been weary. You didn't stay home when you thought about it, but you did well and came, and you're reaping the award of getting help. You may witness to somebody when you're scared to death. You may witness when you wonder, how will they respond? But you can see it in their eyes. They're getting it. They're receiving it. God's speaking through you to that heart. They may get saved right then. They may not get saved. But you know you're reaping the award of doing what's right. Well doing. Now it says we shall reap. But it says before that it says in due season. I'm alive. I'm just about done. I really am. But I got to say this. Due season means it may not happen quickly. As your pastor, that right now is what I'm hanging on to. You pray, and for a few minutes, it seems like you can't even get through. And you think about just getting up and forgetting it, just giving up. But something inside, the Holy Spirit says, keep on praying. And after a few minutes or several minutes, hey, it's been a couple of hours before for me. And all of a sudden, after a while, in a due season, God's in charge of the due season. God's in charge of when it happens. I don't tell you what, there's been times I was so down, so defeated, and I've stayed on my face or on my knees or in that chair, and I stayed there, and all of a sudden, maybe it'd been a long time. I'd been there a good while. But all of a sudden, He moved in, and I've said to myself so many times, I can't count them. I've said this. This is it. This is it. This is how you get help from God. All of a sudden, everything was different because I waited for the due season. I didn't give up after a couple of minutes of struggling. You pray, it seemed like God hadn't heard. And the devil will say, quit. The devil will say, give up. But keep on praying. I promise you, when he answers, you'll be glad. Brother Frankie, there was a couple here last week, two times. One of them, the man, his sister prayed for him 42 years for him to get saved. Wonder how many times she thought about, I just will not even pray. It's a waste of time. But she didn't give up, and she, in due season, she reaped the award. You come to church, may seem so dead this morning, you wonder why I come back. You may even think about going somewhere else. But you keep coming, and in due season, God moves. God helps. You witness to that person, and it seems like they don't listen. Keep on witnessing. Keep on letting God. I'm talking about, he said, we shall reap, but he says in due season. Let me stop. I know you're glad. I am too. I'll tell you what. I'll say to us what Peter said to Jesus. Lord, to whom shall we go? I mean, if we quit, who are we going to go to? Boy, I got a couple people in my heart. They gave in. They quit. I promise you one thing. If they'd be honest right now, they'd say, don't do it. My point is this. If we quit serving God, what's going to happen? To whom shall we go? I promise you, as bad as it can get serving God, it's going to get a whole lot worse when you quit. So the best thing we do is get closer. My prayer for me, I'm asking you to pray for me. I'm asking, do you hear me? I'm asking you as your friend, your pastor. I don't care why you look at me. Just I'm asking you to pray for me that I walk closer to the Lord than I ever have before and be the proper witness and be in touch with the Lord more than I ever have before. I'm asking you to pray for me for that and to not let the devil get me weary. But now I want to pray that for you. I want to ask you to not let that happen. Some of you is already. You're already not well doing. But some of you have been, and it's beginning to get to you. And you're wondering why even try. I'll tell you why. Because the Lord's your only hope. And it's not too late. It's not too late for Him to move. Not too late for Him to change things. It's not too late for that prayer to be answered. Not too late for you to get help. Let's stand together. You've listened well. Thank you. Mindy or Gail, whoever wants to come. I just want to say this. As the Lord warned us, there is a great falling away. I do not want to be a part of that. I do not want to be drawn into that. And the devil individually is dealing with us. As a church, he's dealing with us and working on us. And I'm asking us. I'm asking you as an individual. Number one, are you saved? Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you certain? If not, I want to ask you to come and get it settled. If you need help, I'll be glad to take a Bible and help you. If you are saved, I want to ask you, be honest. Are you well doing? Are you doing God's will well? If not, please come and get help. If you're here this morning, you just need to pray for yourself that the Lord would help you. You come. Maybe you got somebody else on your heart. You mind the Lord. Father, please speak to hearts. Thank you so much, Lord. Help us in Jesus' name.